No, it's just Samuel L. Jackson without any pants on.
All right, that'll do it.
Welcome back to another Linux Incast Weekly, the show that covers the latest Linux gaming news, reviews, how-tos, and most importantly, you know it. Whatever the hell else we come up with, I'm Old Man Ven here piloting our little ship in beautiful downtown Athens, Georgia, joined every week by Jordan, who's a little orange on his right side. Did you get a light?
Yeah, there's a new light bulb. You ever, like, buy a light bulb and, like, it's a different color light than the other lights in the room?
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, that,
yeah,
that,
you,
that's...
you got, like, that daylight bullshit color, right?
Yeah.
That's happened.
Yeah, and, like, I have a bunch of other matching lights to this color. I just gotta, like... I don't know. I do that thing where I don't replace them until they burn out, because it seems like a waste, right?
Yeah. And the other person joining us is somebody who actually is from the government, but no, he is most certainly not here to help you. When Pedro Mateus, together with you, Shadrim Dynamic, helping us form Cocaine Voltron. What's up? What's new? If you've been paying attention over on Interfacing Linux, I got a thread of, like, here's the shit that shows up in my mailbox. This is what I've been up to pretty much all week. This is a sound card, believe it or not. It's a sound card with a heat sink. How big is that heat sink, Pedro?
It's that's almost like single slot GPU sizes.
It's not like a little heat sink. It goes across the card.
Mm-hmm.
It's got weird stuff on it. Stay tuned for more of that nonsense. I'm going to be doing it out. But one thing I want both of you to give a check right quick with your video is, could you make sure we're on VP9 right quick?
Mine says AV1.
Damn it, he spoiled the surprise.
Aha! Well then.
We're kind of getting it worked out. Also, we're in 1080p for the relays. Pedro's is either like working real great or it's being kind of crunchy. We don't know. Like I said, I'm just testing stuff. I was
across,
like,
across the ocean.
Yeah.
I mean, they're still on 360p, like PAL in the UK. So
Pedro's
like,
coming in at 50 hertz, man.
Yeah.
But the audio is fine. It's great. We do the video stuff. I sit there. I'm like, well, I got enough power to do this, don't I? Apparently, yes, because I clearly didn't test this beforehand, but it's mostly working. Jordan, what's new?
Yes.
Outside of your new light.
Outside of my
which
new
is the
light.
One color light, though, by the way. You need natural
light. I need a black light. I need to just, like, show all of the fucking weird stains I got
on
me.
It looks like you got the fuck mothering briefcase from Pulp Fiction over there to your right.
Yeah, well, no, it's just Samuel L. Jackson without any pants on.
All right, that'll do it.
his penis just glows that same orange. No, I got one more week on the stupid weight loss thing, and I have a funny story about squatting, because, like, I lost a bunch of the body fat, but I still got a bunch of the skin, and I started squatting with a belt, and I, you know, when you get in there, you gotta, like, tighten your belt up, and what I have discovered is... I have enough pudge on one side of my body that when I have the belt on tight and I squat down, it folds over in on itself like a fucking flesh roll. And it is the most bizarre sensation to go through when you have several hundred pounds on your back and you're like, does this hurt? This is uncomfortable, but what do I do? And so I had to deal with flesh roll, belly flesh roll. That is my week. How
can you do the flap?
Dude, you probably have like the most Guinness size mushroom going on, right?
No, it's only on one side. It's only on one side. Yeah. It's like this side. I got this flub. Not really a thing over here. It's like much, much smaller pinch.
Huh.
Well past my thumb knuckle over on this side.
That's like an extra fuck you. That was like asymmetry. Deal with it.
Yeah, human bodies aren't perfectly symmetrical. This is where it is. Yeah.
Let me believe, man. Well, if
slice,
I close one
slice
eye.
Me, slice me down the middle.
Right.
Or no, you could probably do that with, like, fucking Da Vinci or whatever. Just, like, bisect me and then just have, like, the one half be both sides.
Oh, you're right-handed, aren't you? So, okay, that explains why the left side is more pudgy, right?
You favor that one side. What have you been up to? How you doing?
I had to wake up early to go get new sunglasses because prescription.
Uh-huh.
So no, they look okay. They're a little small, a little quicksilvery. That's the frames. they were the only frames that looked okay outside of getting the same frames that I have for these. Let's see here. which look like the deal with it sunglasses.
Here come the man in black. Can't see the man.
So yeah, no, it's I genuinely like them, and for the £80 that they cost me, they better last a good long time. Still cheaper than the other one, the last pair I had, so that's good.
I bought a pair of cyberpunk sunglasses for like $20 on the internet.
Yeah, no, these have the same prescription as these, so yeah.
I think you may have gotten ripped off still. There are ways to get like cheaper prescription glasses.
There are. It's that one was mostly because those frames were not for sunglasses originally, but it were the only other frames that I could actually tolerate seeing on my own face. So
I always run into like, that okay, like strange I'll thing with like sunglasses because I want maximum coverage, but I don't like big glasses.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
not Frank. Like Frank's a huge fan of those big Nirvana glasses, right?
Apparently, I look good with the big square lenses, so I guess I got like the right head shape for it.
All right.
Yeah.
You think we'll ever be able to get those shades on the horse, though?
No, the horse has already dealt with it, and it's just completely checked out. You can issue your subpoenas. You can try to get it in court. It won't work. It's the Steam Well, horse won't go to court, but Valve might. Well, we got this article from the Bubica. Not that BBC. The news organization.
Did I get the delay right this week, or are we echoing?
Are we still echoing?
Of course, everyone's going to say yes, no matter what, right?
This is CNN. yeah, so Valve, they're getting sued. They're getting sued by a lady named Vicky, who is accusing
is
them
that Vicky?
Of no, that is not that is Lazel. although Vicky may be about as frightening as Lazel, given some of what she's doing. But yeah, Vicky Showbolt is her name. She works with a family special interest group in the UK. And they are presenting a class action lawsuit claiming that Valve locks people into their ecosystem, requires a most favored nation clause that stops other game publishers and developers from charging less money for their games on other platforms, which actually isn't true. That only applies to Steam keys. Now, Valve does have some sweet most favored nation deals in regards to that, but they're not the only ones. Amazon is the biggest fucking offender of that. So if we're going after them, can we please go after Amazon? And like, if you go through the website, the link it's linked to in the article, we'll probably show the link in the show notes as well. This is primarily a financial motivated class action suit. She's hoping for about £22 to £40 per individual as a member of the class, and maybe changing their business practices. But then you go and look in their website and you look at what they're accusing Valve of, and there's not a lot of water being held there. There is some nice points about like, hey, you know, wouldn't it be nice if DLC you bought on Steam would be transferable to somewhere else? And I would love that to be the actual outcome of this case that just forces companies to do that. But again, going after Valve here, they're not even the most egregious example of this. And as Ven will go into, this isn't the first time they've tried this either.
No, and it is a juicy target, as the article points out. According to VG Insights, last year Valve made an estimated $9 billion in sales. So yeah, it's a juicy target, and they're using the same argument for this particular lawsuit that Wolfire did. Which is, the Valve is a de facto monopoly, and you can't, if you want to sell your game outside of Steam, but still provide people with a Steam copy, you need to have that price parity. So Valve get to dictate if you want to sell Steam keys outside of Steam. Valve is dictating that you have price parity in those situations. So the Wolfire case, or this one, whichever one ends up wrapping up first, will probably dictate what the other one's going to be. And the whole DLC thing, I can see why, but I don't know how much water that would actually hold in court. And in practice, it doesn't hold any, because yes, if you have a game on a platform, you buy the game on Steam, you probably want to get the DLC also on Steam. But I can see the situation where it's like, okay, it's much cheaper to buy the DLC there, so maybe bring that in. And Okay, so if the issue here is their, you know, the lack of competition and Valve just being the monster that it is and the de facto monopoly that it is because there is no competition, there is no competition because everyone else seems to be too focused on having exclusives on their platform, forcing spyware down people's throats, kernel level anti-cheats, delisting and removing games from people's accounts. So can we just start suing Epic, Ubisoft, EA, Sony, Microsoft, Nintendo, and the rest for actively refusing to compete with Valve in that respect?
Or how about if you're going to be a children's rights advocate in the gaming space, why don't you go after companies that make predatory that make games with predatory practices that take advantage of children's?
They're getting around to it. She's getting around to it. This is the same law firm that went after Sony last year, and that's still going to be in a thing. You know, that's still tied up in court. You might be getting some money from that, but now Valve's also a monopoly, so we got two monopolies because that's how monopolies work. One thing I was pretty interested to see. Now, they say Valve forces game publishers to sign a so-called price parity obligations, preventing titles from being sold cheaper on rival platforms. That's bullshit. That's already been covered. Pedro touched on. Like, you can generate keys. If you generate keys for your Steam game on Steam, you can't sell those cheaper. You can't sell
which, that's actually a protection for the developers themselves.
It makes perfect sense. Like, Steam's being nice. Dude, it doesn't cost anything to generate Steam keys. Like, you don't get charged for that. That's free money you can print. Not like, that makes 100%. Like, you're not going to get them on that. Like, don't even try that. That's silly. I don't know. Or that what Jordan said, though. Imagine if you had your multi-pass, but for video games. You bought the game once, and it was available on all platforms.
Yeah, that would be the dream.
your saves, your DLC, it's portable. That would be
Sony
like,
would hate that. Microsoft would hate that. Steam would hate that. Epic would hate that. Humble would hate that. GOG would hate that.
Which probably means it's the right thing to do.
But everyone who's actually buying the games and wanting to keep playing those games and being available, whatever that happens to be. Yeah, everyone else would love it.
You know what? Maybe they do that, but you now all of a sudden you gotta like rent Steam.
Yeah. you gotta go down to Blockbuster.
Yes.
That's how Blockbuster comes back.
There's a lot of people who would go, oh, if I pay $10 a month to Steam, I get these, you know, Game Pass style, all of these games that I can just play. Mm-hmm. A lot of people would probably be down for that.
And a lot of developers would get money where otherwise, like, they would never see a penny.
Yeah.
Because, you know, all of a sudden I'd fuck around with your game, even if, you know, but I understand why Valve doesn't want to go down that route. And I'm sure it's more like technical than anything else. Like, it's just logistics of getting something like that set up.
It's also a lot easier when you're a sole publisher like Microsoft. You can be like, yeah, all of these games are ours. We can do whatever the fuck we want.
Or you could try and fail miserably at it like Ubisoft. Yeah. Like, all these games are ours. Like,
and they're all the same game.
You want to put that shit back on Steam so people play it? You're like, yeah, we probably should.
What, you don't want to play EA. Assassin's Watchdog, Black Flag?
The Ubisoft game, the same one that they've been releasing with different skins for years now.
Yes. It's new and involved. I'm like, bitch, that's just in Japan.
It's literally the exact same.
I watch every one of these release trailers. I enjoyed Assassin's Creed, the game with the different skin packs, like for a while. And like, I watch these trailers and I'm like, nope, that's just more of that game.
Well, speaking of Ubisoft games on Steam, you can quit them now.
No, you can't. Spoilers.
Well, you can do a lot of new things because the client update, which is a big beta roundup that they do every now and then, came out on June 13th. There's a bunch of stuff that got fixed, including those were more Proton focused, but the two Linux-y ones were games with names containing spaces and crash when opening the overlay in certain games. Those have been fixed. The thing that jumped out at me that is missing and has been missing ever since they did the big UI upgrade was the ability to set different options in the tray icon, because they have a couple of fixes for the tray icon in general, but none of it is the ability to set those options again. And that seems to be a limitation of the Linux client, because people on Windows are saying, yeah, no, that option's still there on Windows. I used to trim that to just have the library, quit, and settings. That's it. And the recently played games at the top. Everything else would just be gone because I don't fucking use it. So can we have that again on the Linux client, please, Valve? Please, please?
I was kind of happy to see that overlay was busted on Windows, just because I delight in the misery of all Windows users, because I'm a petty little child who has no joy in his life. But speaking of no joy, they did add for Steam input the no joy option if you also want to remove any sort of sense of happiness from your life, or stop nice. Steam input from enumerating your controllers.
Thanks, Valve. No, yeah, what Jordan was touching on, man, like one of the fixes was like there's some titles that just wouldn't close, like Ubisoft, and my immediate thought is Trackmania 2020.
Mm.
Like, I've gotten into the habit of, like, when I close that, make sure I open the Steam library and force close that thing, because it just will not shut down. And I'm sure everybody's got a couple of games like that. I don't know if they're necessarily like Ubisoft
Steam
titles.
The Steam client doesn't shut down for me. I have
nah,
to.
Nah, dude, that's just KDE being KDE, man. Come on.
That's just Fedora not shutting down.
That's Fedora. That's not a KDE thing. That's a Fedora thing.
So there you go. Coming up next is Steam Deck related, because how long has the Steam Deck been out now? A year and some change, right?
2022. It's been 2 years.
A couple of months. Yeah, like 8 months now?
About a week.
All right.
Yeah.
2 years and 3 months?
No.
24 hours almost. And 16 days.
What I really kind of predicted, like right when this was, you know, the first announcement, I'm like, people are just going to buy that and put Windows on and play Windows games. We were wrong. Why? Because Windows is a dumpster fire on the Steam Deck.
And I think you could just shorten that to Windows is a dumpster fire, period.
Fair enough. The lads over at XDA Developers decided they're going to take a fresh crack at it. Find out what works, and hey, you know one thing now? It's easy to set up a dual boot between Windows and Linux, you know, or Windows and Arch, however you want to look at it. So that's a bonus. I'm good on that.
You still do need to have separate drives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So out of the box, man, like the drivers are there for the Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, audio drivers. They work, but only on the LCD model. If you bought one of those OLED, like, get wrecked. None of that shit works.
Nice.
I thought that was kind of wild. And they said some things launched. XDA just couldn't be arsed to like actually test performance, but they did link to a year-old video on YouTube of somebody testing the performance, because that's representative of fuck nothing. Good on you, XDA. So, you know, they make a good point in here, though. You know, you want something like this for the consumer, for those titles that you cannot play under Linux. And there's like three or four of them, all anti-cheat related stuff, you know, Destiny 2, LOL.
Fortnite.
Yeah, things like that. Like, that's good for the Steam Deck to be able to easily pop in and be able to play that stuff and boot back to your regular Steam OS. So, yeah, there you go. I really was hoping that it was like just 100% everything worked. You know, you don't get any of your Steam overlay stuff that you get with SteamOS. Why? Because you kind of got to tie that stuff in a little deeper than I sure Valve wants to be fucked trying to do that with Windows.
No game scope.
Yeah.
No game scope?
No game scope. I mean, it's still in the category of doable, and it's probably not going to, you know, basically all the same problems that you run into with all of the other not Steam Decks. We have Steam Decks at home from like Asus and other lovable companies.
It really goes to show you fucking GameScope is kind of the killer app here, right? Like,
I mean, it gets the job done, man. And, yeah, you know, you get better battery life on Linux, which is okay, but true.
The right side overlay to the power menu, it gives you access to the CPU and GPU and a bunch of firmware specific controls directly from the overlay,
mm-hmm.
which, yeah, you're not going to get that on Windows. The thing that surprised me, though, is this is XDA developers, but at least they're not complaining that using HoloISO as a desktop OS is a bad idea. Yeah, I still remember that.
Listen, it's XDA developers. I'm happy I didn't have to click on a Mediafire link.
Yeah, or scroll to page 21 to find the updated link to the new build. But yeah, no, the whole thing comes down to bespoke OS for the device that it was specifically built for in the first place is the best choice. In other shocking news, Sky reportedly still blue.
And you got nobody to blame but AMD. AMD's like, we're not giving a Windows. Like, yeah, they technically work. Fuck off.
Yeah, no, the graphics work. It's just the audio, the Wi-Fi.
Not if you got an OLED, baby. Not if you got an OLED.
Yeah, no, those are the ones that are not working on the OLED.
Yeah.
But if you, like, the graphics-wise, the OLED one is there. It's just no audio, no Wi-Fi, no Bluetooth.
Hey, I like the idea of something that is usable. Like, that adds, again, it adds value. Even, for, like, if I'd bought a Steam Deck, I'd want, because if you got a bunch of Linux stuff at home and you got, like, seven Linuxes installed all over your Linuxes, like I do, you still need a Windows machine. I'd still need a Windows machine on occasion because some of these old-ass interfaces, I got to plug in a FireWire card and the application only runs because I got to get to the ASIC or whatever and flip a bit. And, you know, I have Jordan's old PC that I had for his WebRTC client. It's got Windows 10 on it. It's sitting in the storage room and I pull it out, but I wouldn't mind like a little Steam Deck or something small that I could just boot into real quick and be done with it. So, yeah, there's the current state of things. It works if you try hard enough. Oh. Ta-da!
Progress! Ta-da.
We got some new games this week because next fast, don't we?
We do, yeah. There's lots of demos out, but there's some releases out as well. Tales of Iron 2 Whiskers of Winter is available. What is it? You ever play Salt and Sanctuary? Well, it's like that. You ever play Armello? Well, it's kind of like that mixed with Salt and Sanctuary. you play as a cute little animal and you try and murder things with your axe. It's a action RPG. Much in the vein of your Salt and Sanctuaries or your Metroidvanias. And yeah, it's narrated by Geralt, not Hemsworth, not Cavill, but like the one from the game. Apparently he does a lot of shit. He's Ball in Baldur's Gate 3. He's Victor Ran. Doug Cockle is the guy's name.
I had to look that up.
Yeah.
Yep. I did.
Yeah. It's in the thing. It's like featuring RPG legend Doug Cockle. Like, who? Oh, that guy. All right.
I mean, it's definitely got a Darkest Dungeon type art style with a flat. And, you know, I wouldn't mind some more gameplay in your damn trailer, guys. But here's the thing.
That's the first trailer.
What? All right, there we go. Hey, do you know how rare that is? Let's be honest. Gameplay trailer, you know, with gameplay, it's usually the second or like the 19th.
New Steam Store rules say that the first two trailers, at least one of them should have gameplay.
Right. It's usually like in one of them, but usually not the first. So good on you guys. There's a demo that you can go download and play it, because why else would you download a demo? Let me know in the comments. And I mean, it looks fun. I didn't get a chance to play around with this one. When is it coming out? Who knows? It's coming soon.
Yeah. Spoon. The first one has been out for a while, and the first one is very much inspired by Batrachomio Machia, which is the parody of the Homer's novel, the big one. What's it called?
The Odyssey.
Iliad? The Odyssey. Thank you. yeah, it's basically that, but told with mice and frogs and the battle of them.
Unrelated, just because I'm a big Greek mythology nerd. Yeah. I love the fact that like the Odyssey and the Iliad are like chapters 5 and 8 of this much larger work that the rest of it just doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah,
spoilers.
Just got lost to time. But yeah, no, this
well,
one
hey,
is
man, you know, time for some fanfic, right?
Right. Yeah. It's called Hades
2. And yeah, everyone expands beyond the frogs. You're not just fighting frogs, you're fighting bats and
do you
other
get to
stuff.
Fight fractions?
Yes. But yeah, no, this is a different mouse kingdom because you're playing as a. I can't remember the
what
name
was
of
their
the kingdom
mouse,
in the original.
War game, Tooth and Tail, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Tooth and Tail.
That was the strategy one.
Yeah. Or like Grimdark Redwall. Maybe a little bit, if y'all remember that, Redwall books? Martin the Warrior, the Badgers, no?
No.
So send me some hate mail if you fucking remember Redwall. Yeah.
Coming up next, ladies and gentlemen, War on Wheels. This is something I did download and play for a little bit. And by play, I mean I had to smash that Proton button because you forgot to populate your Linux depot, Brad. This is yet another demo from Steam Next Fest. All of our games this week in our new game category come from that. So you can go out and play it right now. It's not going to cost you anything. What is it? You destroy your opponents, man. What got my attention? It's a car, and you got lances on each side. And I'm like, all right, medieval combat.
Car jousting.
Yeah, Carmageddon.
Those are some Rocket League style vehicles too, right? Like
they are. That's what I'm looking at, man. And then I played it. I'm going to say the trailer is very accurate to it. It drops you into an arena. It's like, hey, you want to try out the story mode? It's under development. It just drops you into an arena. And there's one screen. It's like, there's where your controls are. So as you can see, you get to boost around. That's a thing. And there's a flip mechanic that I'm not 100% on how you use that. And you got lances. And eventually, if you smash into another car, there's not much strategy to it. It blows up. And sometimes you blow up. That's about it, man. There you go. Go try it yourself. There's a demo.
I saw that. I'm like, oh, so this is medieval Rocket League Burnout? All right. Well, you know, if you throw enough wacky shit in there, in your bonkers fantasy shit in your driving game, I will check it out.
Well, it's single player, though.
Yeah. Oh, that's that. Why? That this requires multiplayer, right?
Right.
Medieval Demolition Derby, like.
That's the thing. It's not medieval Demolition Derby. This is Mount and Blade, but with cars. which is kind of what I want to play. I very much, once the game proper is finished, like they have the conquer the overworld, and then you
GMC
get into battles
Montana
by going
Blade.
It is just Mountain Blade but with cars, and I kind of want to play that very much.
Everyone go, I mean, if you're thinking about that, try the demo. I'm with Jordan, like, need to get any entertainment out of it. Like, there needs to be more
There needs to be contact. A giant soccer ball.
Yes, maybe some medieval... Soccer was played medieval times, mother. We can make this work, right?
Right.
We can make this work.
Just like, come on, guys. It's just
legally distinguishable is all we're going for.
It's Ballista League.
Super sonic combat medieval rocket racing. Yes, there we go.
Steam-powered rocket instead of atomic.
Oh, my God.
Coal power.
Jordan, we get another blast from the past.
Yeah, hold on. I got to put a bunch of glitter on my body because it's time to talk about vampires. Everyone's favorite topic. Castlevania Revamped. It's a fan game from Level 4 Games. It is a reimagining, reinterpretation of the original Castlevania game. It has some elements from like more modern Castlevanias. The controls are definitely a lot smoother and a lot more responsive. And it's available as an app image. You got to go to their YouTube page to get the download link because they can't just fucking share it on Twitter. No, they got to go watch my YouTube trailer. But, you know, you can download it. It's like 100 megs or whatever. It runs, starts on a little postage stamp. You hit start game. You can go down to the options menu and then you can go to, window scale, and that can bump up the resolution, or you can select full screen. I'm not a big fan of, I think options should come before start game. I think you should be
if you're doing something on Linux, man, give me flags. We all expect flags. Yeah. Let me punch that
help.
In. Yeah. Something mm-hmm. like that. Like, let me, cause that's what I was looking for. That's the first thing I wrote in the show notes. I'm like, is there a way to get to that? And Jordan's like, no. And I'm like, well, it doesn't exist for me, man. I was trying to find it, but I guess it is there, but there is a button to go to full screen, which I found out later, and I'm like, okay, put it in full screen, then adjust it. Problem solved. And you might have saw, if you're watching the video version, Simon can slide now. Also, he's Goku.
Simon Goku, yeah.
Yeah. And there you go. You're fighting Dracula. Revamped. It's free. There's an app image. Runs analytics. I played it on Debian 12, which is the, you're doing something wrong if it doesn't run on Debian 12. So it should run on anything. Out now.
Runs on Fedora 39, so
get it before Konami sues somebody.
Yeah, Konami is not as litigious as Uncle Nintendo. So
no, they're just going to turn it into a pachinko machine.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Pixels of the night.
Or try to sell it as an NFT. Let's talk about some game updates.
I don't know, dude. Like there's a good point to be made about like NFTs. What was it, Maximilian? He was talking about, and he knows a little bit about this, according to him anyway, of like, who makes Final Fantasy?
Square.
Square. Like, they were going balls in on NFTs, and they, like, had to redo multiple games. I'm like, wait a minute. That's all. A sham? Fuck. Having to rework stuff. That's like, that's why your game's delayed. Thanks, NFTs. No.
Yep.
This game is also not delayed because of NFTs. It's delayed because it's taking time to work on.
Yeah. They've been promising an update to Path of Exile for a long, long time, and they decided, you know what? Rather than just updating this game and probably pissing a bunch of people off, let's make Path of Exile 2. And yeah, they're actively optimizing it for the Steam Deck, which Yay. Is good. Then again, this is the same company that even with the first Path of Exile, they always made sure that the game at least worked with Wine, which I very much applauded back in the day. And it's great to see that they're now that they have the hardware to back it up as well, because they claim that they have a Steam Deck to properly test things on. It's very good to see that they're still actively following that particular way of working. Very much appreciated. I played a lot of the first Path of Exile, so I'm probably going to play a lot of that one too. So.
I have a problem with Diablo likes. I'm very, very picky about the types of games that I get into, but when I do and I start clicking, oh man. So just what I need, just crack that I can take everywhere. That's great. I look forward to my mental health.
And well, you know, this isn't like rampant audience speculation. Noah from Steam Deck HQ ran into them at an event where they were demoing the game, asked them like, yeah, we're going to make sure it works.
Yeah, it's Diablo with a sphere grid, man. Like, what more do you want from me?
Done.
Hook it into my veins.
All right.
Maybe run it on my ARM laptop.
We don't really talk about it on the show a whole lot unless we're like talking about FEX. You know, FEX is x86 mm-hmm. to ARM, and like, well, you know, that's going to get interesting when we have a big beefy ARM pro. And there it is. Tuxedo's working on getting that Snapdragon Elite SoC from Qualcomm into a laptop. That's pretty cool, man. They had a prototype that they were showing off at Computex. Unfortunately, it got stuck in a bit of a wee boot loop that they were not able to solve, but I want it. They're already working on the Mark II of this. So if you don't know about the Snapdragon, you know, 12-core, 20-watt TDP, 16-inch. Well, this is a 14-inch display mm-hmm. on this laptop. Aluminium body, USB 4 holes, HDMI, all the fun stuff. 32 gigs of that SoC memory RAM. And by all accounts,
20 watts at a 50-watt-hour battery. You're getting some battery life out of that.
No, it's going to be like one of the new M-series laptops. Like, you plug it in every few days. And we're not talking about this is you using it at 10% screen brightness and not watching, like, just straight up using the damn thing.
Yeah.
This is a game changer. Hopefully it is. And, like, Windows is, like, being all Windows-y about stuff. And Qualcomm's Co-pilot. Not fucking around, man. Qualcomm's got a version of Debian you can download and put on this thing right now.
It may get into a boot loop, but they're working on it.
It might. We'll see. This is what Tuxedo says. Like, we're waiting on like maybe one, two more kernel versions for some things Qualcomm's working on to get upstream to the kernel, and it's going to work.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and it is nice to see some plain Jane Debian getting a bit of spotlight, because normally that would be like Ubuntu running on it, right? That would,
right.
Yeah.
Or Manjaro. but yeah, no. Unfortunately, this current bunch of really interesting looking Snapdragon X laptop announcements seem to have reignited the fire under Qualcomm's ass, and the flames are shaped like ARM lawyers, because back in 2022 ARM sued Qualcomm because Qualcomm apparently deviated from one of the licensing agreements that they had with ARM specifically.
Oh,
for
do you know
the
story behind this?
I posted a link in the
about the company that they bought with the license to Nuvia. Do server development.
Yeah, actually, I think I knew someone. I knew someone who was working at Nuvia for a while.
Yeah, that is still unresolved. So now ARM is basically said, kill those laptops, kill that entire line of CPUs.
Physically destroy it.
Yeah. Physically just don't. So, I mean, out of all the brands that are releasing these laptops, Tuxedo is the one that I'd actually probably give my money to. But it's...
like super clear, man, is Tuxedo's not making these. These are rebadges, you know, like System 76 does. So you will be able to buy like a non-Tuxedo version and just, you know, play the home game with like vanilla Debian if you want. Yeah, the ARM thing's a little bit sticky because that server company had a license with ARM, and you know what ARM really wanted to do right now was to, well, back then and still currently, they want to make room in the server space. Mm-hmm. So they gave me like a nice cut rate on licensing, like go out and build some bitching ass crazy server grade ARM stuff. And they did. And Qualcomm's like, those are neat. Let's just buy this company and we'll transfer all that over. Now ARM's coming back going, you can't transfer a license like that, Qualcomm. Qualcomm's like, but we already got a perpetual license with you that says it does. We can. So they're going to decide that in court. No, yeah. These things are going to be out for years.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. Qualcomm countersued ARM, so until that entire thing is settled, they're just going to keep pushing it.
Yeah, like, yeah, it's safe to buy one, and they're not going to come to your house, like, you know, in, like, 2032 and be like, hey.
No, maybe Jensen might be like, you should have bought an NVIDIA laptop, you son of a bitch.
Coming sooner, and, you know, this always goes back to what I mentioned last week, man, or maybe week before last. I want some desktop boards with this chip in it.
So, yeah, some non, like, thermal bound, just, like, slap 1,000-watt PSU on that sucker, like, and see what you can do.
Show me what this chip does with water cooling.
With liquid helium cooling, yeah.
Just a 360 AIO keeping it at like room temperature.
That's what it was. Let's see if I can get it sub ambient.
Active refrigeration.
Dude, I'm down with that. It's good to see Tuxedo's already on it. Like I said, there's been heavy development with us and they plan on having something out. They said time scale, like maybe by Christmas, but it was wishy washy enough to like get wrecked if we don't make that. And these are not going to be cheap. Let me go ahead and point that out. These are not,
first gen, right? Like, yeah.
Well, just this type of laptop. Like, this is a top end. This is a top end chip from Qualcomm. Like, Qualcomm will probably make lower grade versions of the Snapdragon. This is the YOLO 9000. So you're going to be looking, you know, $1,200-$1,300 for one of these as a starting price.
You think we're going to start seeing a lot of those lower grade ones just like fill out a bunch of Chromebooks? That's just going to be what it is.
I mean, if I was going to get a Chromebook, I'd want one of those, right?
Yeah.
I doubt the Chrome. Well, I mean, don't you want like a little Pixel Chromebook, another one?
They could destroy some shit because especially like if they have the full integration, like a full stack, like camera and all this shit working. This is like, according to Qualcomm, and like they have a repo where you can follow all this stuff. Mm-hmm. That they're pushing into the kernel. They're upstreaming this shit. Like, they're really working on this. Then Qualcomm releases an 8-core variant of this with 16 gigs of RAM as an SoC for $100.
Yeah, right.
Now, I talked about this on Wednesday. This is the one Intel's worried about. Intel's not worried about AMD. You want, like, in our head, and you're like, it's AMD and Intel. Not with laptops. Why? AMD doesn't have the fab capacity to compete with laptops. So, you know, you're like, it's undercutting from Dell. And it's like, no, Dell puts in an order. They need 1 billion laptops. AMD's like, we can't reserve that much fab space. Let me finish.
Dell's case specifically is different because there was that leak.
Okay, then let's change out Dell to HP then.
Okay.
Fine. Well, actually. So, to get the general purpose point across is Qualcomm has the fab shit. Qualcomm is used to making 1 billion of something.
Yeah, because like basically every stove is an ARM computer, right? Like, yeah.
They know this. They got this. They got the logistics. It's like, how many you need, Dell? How many you need, HP? And Intel's like,
Dell and HP, yeah. And that's the scary thing for
Lenovo,
Intel,
Asus, yeah. And that's the thing. I really want one of these big high-end ARM laptops because having played around with the Pinebook Pro, it's Raspberry Pi 4 levels of performance, which is neat for a laptop form factor, but it's not great. So, yeah.
You wouldn't want to do actual work on it, right?
No. Like, no.
Why not? What wouldn't run?
The moment you open up a browser, the whole thing stutters. It's like general web browsing and such. Mm. Video is fine, As long as you don't move the mouse. If you move the mouse, the video stutters.
First off, you can browse with links, and VLC's got an ASCII render. So I've already solved your first two problems. Keep them coming.
It's just, that's the thing. The moment you do anything that's remotely demanding, unless you have a highly specified image that you're running, it is genuinely not a very good general use machine. But I want a general use ARM machine. I want the big honking one.
Mm-hmm. This might be it. Hopefully we get like some SBCs or something like that. And it'll be dope. And one thing Qualcomm really knows how to do is cameras too.
Mm-hmm.
So like the cameras on these laptops are probably going to be unhinged, like iPhone-ish, like last gen iPhone. Instead of that Smeero vision that you normally get. Like
good time. Just your standard webcam laptop, just like pick a webcam laptop.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it, man. Good job. Look forward to more stuff coming out of Tuxedo, and hopefully like System 76 is like send us some of those laptops too. It's a German manufacturer making these. I'm sure, you know, System 76 will find a US supplier and put pop risk.
Risky pop is something to do with like Janet Jackson's nipple or something.
I don't know.
Is that an STD?
Listen, I took some risky pop back at Fire Festival, and I'm starting to itch in some uncomfortable places now. Speaking of fluids leaking, let's talk about Epic Leaks.
I was gonna let you have it.
Nothing I could have said there would have been remotely appropriate for anything. This is from WCCF Techs. Links to all this in our show notes. We also have a Reddit link as well. But, you know, there is apparently APIs that the Epic Game Store exposes that would allow you to look at some of the stuff that is coming down the pipe, some new releases. And some fine enterprising folks have been scraping that and have found some interesting conclusions. Mostly just games that will be coming out in the Epic Game Store. We don't really have a sense of what the time frame is, just that they will be available on the store. And a bunch of these guys are just code names. So folks in the Reddit thread are having some fun trying to guess what Kondo and Offenbach are. But we do have a couple more than likely candidates, including Doom Eternal, Dragon Age 4, Battlefield 2042. We'll talk a little bit more about some of the other ones. But yeah, the hole that they were using in their services to gather this information has been plugged, according to Epic. So no more leaks. But I don't know. Let's go over some of these names. Debussy.
I can't wait for the Sega's take on Curly Whirly.
Right?
Like Debussy Doc Project B exclamation.
Yeah.
I'm Jimmy curious Changa. What Bethesda's Pippet is.
Oh, Project Batman, likely Bloodlines 2, all right, sure.
But Butter Kaka, what?
Hey, man, it's no Angelotti.
Angelotti?
Sure.
Angelotti. Momo is probably FF9.
Bifrost A, not to be confused with Bifrost B.
Kamel Blanc. JP, apparently that is DA4. What's DA4?
Yeah.
I don't know, Chopin.
Chopin. Archipelago, Bovenet,
Nuclear Lamound. Banana, coming from Rebellion.
Might be Atomfall. Balboa, Dragonfly, Potassium. Might
good old
be Among
Potassium.
Us.
I hope it gets a sequel.
Among Us 2, but that's apparently been canceled, so.
Age 4. Okay, right.
No, like, there's a speculation that we're getting a new Turok, too. That'd be dope. The biggest takeaway from me was that there's the equivalent of Steam Deep. DB for the Epic Game Store. I didn't know it merited enough anything.
People want to know when free games are coming, right?
I mean, I guess. And like, you know, the Epic DB was responsible for like hoovering this up, like accidentally too. And they're like, oh, look at all this, all these code names. I wonder, oh, okay. But Epic has said, they have said that we've worked to make it secure. So no more random, somebody's job at Epic is this. Like, that's all they do. This is all that they hate their job. They are disgruntled as hell. Their job, they have like one thing to name every 3 days. The rest of the time they gotta like play solitaire.
What if it's just Pavel? What if he got hired? They're just like, stop doing SteamDB, come work for us. And
does it just have like random name generator for a single name opens like refresh Like that one.
I don't know, man. That one. When I see stuff like that, I'm like, that's somebody's job, dude. They got to do that. Like that.
My dream job would be the guy who like writes the puns for Arnold Schwarzenegger to say after he kills a guy in a movie. Right. That's what I want. That's my dream job.
What do we get him next? Freedom to own.
Yes. Look yourself in the mirror and
behind the man in the mirror.
Yeah, it's a self-described open source Roblox and UEFN alternative. We talked about it before. And it's built on Godot and Nest.js, and it allows you to own everything, you know, unlike Roblox. It's a very good idea. The way that they're doing it, they're hitting all of the right notes. It has an easy-to-use creator with minimal coding, engine and IDE all in one. It's using Godot, and it has an upcoming marketplace for people to put their assets up.
So I should say it is actually a forked version of Godot. It is not stock Godot.
It's not stock Godot, but yeah, it's using Godot. It's genuinely a very good idea, and it's, I think I said this in the original story, and I'll say it again, don't fuck it up. Don't fuck it up.
I looked it up. You told them to get fucked, I believe was your exact words. So
okay.
as Pedro mentioned, we talked about this way back when in LGC 606, if you want to hear our takes back then and see if we have changed our minds at all. They did have their first release back in May. It's mostly just a lot of technical stuff in there. It doesn't look like they have any other nothing too crazy. It looks like they're just kind of ramping up, which is good. It would be nice to see this become a bit more of a prominent thing and become a serious competitor to something like Fortnite or to Roblox.
I'd like to see the community jump on something like that. You know the open source League of Legends thing we talked about a couple of weeks ago? You remember that? Guy was doing that real implementation.
Okay. Sounds vaguely familiar.
They didn't really have anything where they had like a scaffolding. They are throwing down on that for the past couple of weeks. Like that is getting multiple like updates every day. So I'm curious. They even have a little prototype up and running. I'm sure if you type in open source League of Legends, you might find it on linuxgamecast.com. But yeah, open Roblox or something similar. This is what it needs to be. This is what it needs to be. Let's take, you know, keep the creativity and the tools there to engage young and old, but let's remove the money funnel.
The predatory bullshit, yeah.
Yes.
Let people do it because, like, hey, I like doing this. And, like, you know, we can still have, you know, you're still going to spark those ideas and developments without getting caught into, like, whatever. I'm still not 100% on what Roblox is.
But my free unpaid child laborer. How am I going to make money without it?
Shut up, parent.
That's what the Hollywood parent, you know.
Oh. So, hey, that's going to do it for the news this week. But if you got something you want to talk to us about, show up in chat when we're live. That's an easy way to do it. People are starting to figure that out. And if you want to scream at us, leave us a YouTube comment under the video. We're going to check those over on Patreon. We're definitely going to check those. But you can go over to Linux Gamecast and use our contact form, fill that, smash a submit, and you're done. We get a message, we look at it. If it's good enough, we'll talk about it right here. And that's what we're going to be doing this week with Doc for...
Yes! Just in time. I fucking called it. Amazing. Great. Watch the pre super shows. This is from Doc Frank. Doc Frank for Frank. And he says, I've been using Arx A77 for a while now on Linux. I'm happy with it. Performance could be better, sure, but everything just kind of works, except for the odd shader artifact here and there in games like Cyberpunk. The only thing I really miss on the card is VR support. The A310 in my NAS also works like a charm as a transcoder card. For that purpose, it could even run without a fan on it based on some testing I did. Fiddled with an RX 78 or 7900 XT for a bit, but that card just kept crashing and locking up my system, no matter what kind of load was on the card, and even that happened on Linux and Windows. That's why I got the A770 instead. Yeah, I don't know. I've been very, very happy with my 7800 XT. I plugged it in, and it worked.
You bought a dud.
But you know, I'm glad that you're having a good experience with the A770. It's always like a weird one. We don't hear a lot of people like saying, "Hey, I'm a proud Intel card owner. Here is my experience. Here's the pitfalls. Here's what you should look out for. Here's what works well. Here's what doesn't." Because I think we have a lot of hopes and dreams pegged on Battle Mage and Celestial and all these other things that Intel may or may not be releasing, depending on what kind of boneheaded decisions their execs make. But you know, the hardware is there. We would like to see it run well, but you know, that has to be also tempered with realism. And we're in the situation where like old AMD cards were like every couple months, you're going to unlock some new performance as the ecosystem expands for your Intel card.
I think ARC is kind of a weird one because let's be honest, Intel has abandoned ARC. They're done with it. Why? Because they got to put everything they have into Battle Mage.
I hope they're doing that. I genuinely hope they're doing that. The
sunshine of optimism that is Pedro Mateus, always focusing on the...
Because it's Intel.
Oh, yeah. It's like, how are they going to... It's like Krillin. How is he going to fuck it up, right?
I genuinely hope that Intel is making Battle Mage competitive. Doesn't need to be anything else at this point. It just needs to be competitive. It's the first generation Ryzen. It doesn't need to win. It just needs to be good enough. And ARC wasn't good enough. So yeah, it was a baby step. But
I think we're all still looking at ARC and like, if you could have just gotten that out like 13 months earlier.
Yeah, release it in the middle of the GPU apocalypse, and you would have made fucking bank.
Even 6 months. Even then, we're like, come on. Yeah, come on, Intel, just do something. But those drivers, man, they weren't there.
They weren't there. The silicon wasn't there. Their driver team disappeared. They couldn't. Yeah, it's like there was everything that could have went wrong with ARC went wrong with ARC, which gives me hope that there's still there's serious push at Intel. Like, we got to do this. So
they theoretically have enough brain power and talent to do it. Whether or not they execute is the other question.
It's completely being able to get it down to do it. And Battle Mage is, you know, we need that. Like, here's another thing. Like, they can take their time. We're not going to like that. Why can they take their time? Because there's no competition for the low to mid range. Nobody's paying it any attention. Like, we have pittances being thrown out by AMD and NVIDIA. Like, nobody has a compelling card.
NVIDIA's releasing 30 series cards again?
Yeah, the 3056 gig. Yeah, that's it. That's the lowest that you get.
Nobody's looking at a 4060 and going, I'm saving up for that. So it would be nice to have a good value card, you know, price performance back on the market. And Intel can very easily walk in and dominate that market because AMD and NVIDIA is just like, whatever. Thank you, pandemic. We found out that people will spend $1,200 on a video card. It's awesome. Because you people are part of the problem. Quit buying $1,200 video cards. Yeah. Rolls down to it's their market to take because what I originally said, AMD, NVIDIA, not paying any attention to this market. They don't give a shit. Like, AMD is surprising because they don't have anything. Go try to fucking rent some time on an AMD compute shit. Why? Because it doesn't work with fucking VMs. You can't even get a hold of it. Like, it's in that bad a state, people. So I don't know why AMD isn't like dropping the prices. Maybe the silicon is that expensive to make right now. Maybe the fab.
Maybe it's just like,
and
maybe it's literally just Intel's prices are high enough that they're just like, yeah, whatever. We'll just be 10% less and whatever.
And AMD doesn't have any competition either, because if NVIDIA is busy, you know, with the higher end and the compute stuff and everything else that they're doing, AMD is like, okay, so we're the consumer grade highest that most people can afford. And Intel has some catching up to do.
It's wide open, though. Like Ben said, it is their field to take, because if they can come out with something like super compelling at like a decent price point, it doesn't have to be great. It doesn't have to be the best thing on the market. It's just got to be good enough.
Yep. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to wrap us up for tonight. If you like what we do, and you're like, hey, man, I want to keep this nonsense chugging along, I want you to head over to Linux Gamecast, smash that support button, because we got Patreon, we got LibrePay, PayPal, and of course, magic internet money, but we also got wish lists. If you want to pick up something for the show, you can send in a note. We'll read it. And we're like, and I'll even draw your name back here on the board because I think it's silly. We got a merch store, Amazon storefront. If you're curious about what's in the studio, head over there. Take a look. Buy it wherever you want. I don't care. And of course, our humble affiliate, Bondle. I want to give a mention to Erod2532 for that sub and Frizzara for that 4-month resub as well. We do appreciate it. Come check us out. If you are a patron, you get a bunch of extra stuff thrown in, like access to our Discord. You get this show live in podcast format. You don't have to worry. I know YouTube's about to start inserting ads into fucking videos. We didn't even mention that. That's the thing that's going to happen. Guess what? There's a video version over on Patreon. Buck a week. Guaranteed. Just download it. Watch it however you want to do. I do it myself. Go get it. All right, ladies and gentlemen. That's going to do it for this week. It looks like the Jitsi server held on and the camera only overheated once.
Praise Olmo.
So on that, yes. Every round of applause for Jordan for having the foresight of getting Fire Olmo up and running. Well, let's go ahead and cue the music. If you want to get in touch with me, I am over on X, at Vinstone. I'm on our Mastodon instance, mast.linuxgamecast.com, at Vin, and I'm on Blue Sky. Just type in Vin, you'll probably find me, because it's like me and 12 other people.
I'm Jordan. I might not be the best on the market, and I'm probably not good enough either. Follow me on Twitter, at TheBurningFool, on Mastodon, at Frojo, at mast.linuxgamecast.com, or on Blue Sky, at Frojo, at bsky.app.
You've tried the best, now try the rest. I am not a Spacer's Choice. You can find me at unaccounted for at mass.linuxgamecast.com, which is the last of my social media accounts. So, yeah, find me there.
What's going to be the social media account that gets you back into social media? I mean, you're never into, so you're a lurker. So it doesn't really matter where you lurk, does it?
That's the thing. Once social media as a thing kind of gets replaced by whatever comes next,
you just pop over there and start lurking there.
I'll be the lurker there.
Time for some credits. Actually, you're going to get last week's credits. I didn't have time. Swicy, week two. Let's go.
Too Swicy, too Furious. Well, I got to thank the people flying through space. I think they can breathe. Maybe they can. It's their problem. We got to thank Omega Star Therum. We got to thank our executive producers, Bart Bramp, Scott, Atomic, Mike, Tomaj, David, Eshep, Ian, Kurducky, 12345, Haplo, and Drummer, and our little Nikki fans, Super Destote, Empty, Glorious Eggy, and Turbo underscore Tree Sloth.
With the Sea Monsters, Renault Rider, X Machina, Traji, Veritanu, Justin, Darkwing, System D, Dazing Joe, The Krasny, Ogi One, and Frostclaw. With the Death Notes, Nova, Chad, Romeo, Renee, Leonardo, Kim, Chris, Stephen, Joel, Benjamin, Doom2.1, Stephen B, Beck, Dodger, Zeno, Rue, Turnover, Pebble, M, Foxdog, Svine, Jalou, and Piper. Ah, got them all.
Hey, we got a bunch of chairlings too, but you guys are like super awesome. Too awesome to even be mentioned. We dare not do it. Carl, Mike, Arthur, and Linux, New World, Oculus, John, Ejev, Gamatron, you know, and DSN, Joe, Aromatic, Devin, Kajori, our fine upstanding cannibals. Thank you very much. I was just kidding, chairlings. You make the show happen too. We'd have to slow it down.
The bulk of the money is coming from you, so...
Something I discovered in Google Docs is there's a one-point font.
Yeah, I saw that. I was able to read it on my phone, surprisingly.
Oh, nice. All right.
I was walking my dog, too. I'm like, what's this?
Oh, fucking
life. I'm like, you're cute, Ben. You're cute.
Yeah, I've been called worse. All right. Till next week, everybody. Down to fire.
Bye.
Okay, I had to look up the context as to why I told them to get fucked. Yeah, point number one on their GitHub is join Discord.
Fuck yeah, yeah. Let's go.
Get fucked.
I saw the words get fucked. So.
Yeah, no, it's like, okay, no, that sounds like a good idea. Why would I tell them to get fucked? All right, look at their GitHub. Point one, join Discord. Get fucked. Yeah.
Five dudes.